Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now back to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the recap episode of Joseph and Fallon Warren. They are a great young couple who have only been married for a couple of years. They have a young daughter, and they have a very God-centered relationship. And I'm excited to be able to give the download on this relationship to all of you today.
I think Joseph's going to love the fact that you said young, because he's a little older than Fallon. I don't know. He is a young guy, though, young at heart. And what a cool couple, and so fun to hear what they had to say and to spend some time with them.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun to talk to, and they really are in what I call the thick of it. They are both busy. He has a couple top 100 podcasts, so he's very busy. She's busy at home with their young daughter, Alora, and you know, they just, again, are in a season of a lot going on. And I love to get downloads from couples like this, because I think a lot of our listeners can relate to where they are in life and how they handle their relationship.
Absolutely. And it was fun to hear two real different stories, right? I mean, they got married a little later and they dated for a while, and they each had a unique perspective on their relationship and where it was or where it needed to be. And what I loved is they both ended up where they wanted to before they got married. So there's a lot of pre-work in this relationship, and a lot of things that they did, I think, that really set them up for that success and endurance.
Yeah, there really was a lot of pre-work. And I think that's a great, that could be a great first point made here, even though it kind of came a little bit later in the episode. I think that they spent a lot of time talking about what things would or could be like when they were married. They unpacked things, and they had a lot of conversation surrounding commitment. They talked about kids. They talked about church. They talked about living a healthy lifestyle. And I think that those are all important things to note, because I don't believe that enough couples spend time doing this before they get married.
I agree, Kim. And I think that's a great point. And what's interesting, it's not just, this doesn't just apply to couples or people that are not married yet. If you are not married yet, having those conversations that are deep and meaningful, where you're unpacking your past so that you can share that with your spouse, but also kind of what's the roadmap? Where do we want this relationship to be in 5 years, 10 years, or once we're married? And then talking about how you're going to get there, because you can't say get married and then say, well, what do we want it to be like? And I think if you haven't had those key conversations about what you want your relationship to be like, which could be tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now, you've got to have those conversations and really set the expectations of the relationship. And I think they did an incredible job of that, which they said, what do we want the vision to look like? And then what are we going to do now to create it?
I agree. They both came from very different backgrounds. Fallon grew up in a very loving home. She was homeschooled. They had family game nights, family dinners. She never saw her parents argue. So she grew up in a very peaceful, calm environment. And Joseph came from the exact opposite. He had a lot of love there, but there was dysfunction. And he felt that it was unhealthy. There was, you know, a lot of religious shame. And he saw the a God that was sort of a tyrant, and he viewed things very differently. His parents were divorced when they were, when he was young. And again, there was just a lot of yelling and cursing and abuse in that family. And so, you know, he realized at that point that he had to make a choice. What kind of a husband am I going to be? And what kind of a father am I going to be? And how am I going to let that past impact my relationship now?
Yeah, he came from a relationship with six kids, right? And he was 8.5 years old when his parents got a divorce, and they weren't sure what they, you know, they weren't, he wasn't sure where he fell and what was going to happen on that. He knew they were good people and there was love expressed to him, but he thought that there was a lot of things from the relationship that he did not want to have. His parents said a lot of mean and nasty things to each other. And he said, oh my gosh, I heard things that never should have been said. And the good news is that is when a lot of the people we've talked to, people bring things they like from their family of origin and their childhood and growing up. And people say, I am never going to do that. And that was kind of one of the first pearls that came out of Joseph talking about that family history for me, is when he stated, you got to make sure that what you're saying to your spouse, A, is loving and affirming and supportive. But, and this gets into a little bit about communication, but which we may talk about more later, but he said, you don't want to break your wife down in front of anybody, whether it's your kids, your neighbors, or even if she's not there, you've got to be loyal to her in what you say about her. If you have a problem with your wife or an issue or a frustration, you talk about it privately and you talk about it respectfully. You cannot publicly display the issues in front of your kids or anybody else, because you're making them part of the jury, right? You're saying now you're on the jury of trying your spouse or your wife in their court, and that's just not fair.
Yeah, you've just put them on the stand, and it's very uncomfortable, and it's really honestly demeaning to do that with in front of family and friends, even your children. And they make a great point of talking about, we don't and we won't ever do this in front of our child. It's a definite no. It's a rule.
Yeah. And they talked about that, and they called it an impenetrable wall of love. Mm. If they put up an impenetrable wall of love that the two of them create, and that's all their kids see, that wall of love is going to surround and wrap not just the relationship, but the family. And I love that. And he goes, this good works in business and it works in marriage. So that wall, that love, he said, praise, and you got to praise. And I think that's a key thing, not just saying, don't say negative things, but make sure you're saying positive things. Because what you model to your kids is what they think a relationship is going to be like. So if they see you praising your spouse all the time, they're going to think, that's normal, and that's how relationships should be. So you're giving an example for your kids, and not just your kids, right? Other people. We've come home, you and I have come home from dates or being out with other couples and other friends and people and saying, oh my gosh, if you ever treat me that way, I wouldn't allow that to happen. So we see it, and other people see it too. So a great way of demonstrating the right way to do it is to make sure you're doing it in public and for all the world to see, and modeling that behavior.
I agree. I thought that was a great point. How about another takeaway on this particular episode? What else did you have?
You know, I loved the idea that they talked about stubborn resistance and steadfastness, no matter what. So you got to kind of think about, and I think an issue that you and I have talked about, am I being stubborn on this or I'm being steadfast? And when you're being stubborn, it means you're not willing to yield. You're saying, I'm digging my heels in and I am not going to move. And I think steadfastness, on the other hand, is a much better idea because it creates a real sense of security and happiness in a relationship. I think that Fallon and Joseph talked about that, and I loved it because we want to be steadfast, and stubborn might be a good thing in some situations, but stubbornness really represents more resistance. And if you're resisting your spouse, that's a wall, that's a barrier that's not going to encourage more talk and support. So that was something that I kind of pulled out relative to the idea of commitment is, are you being steadfast or are you being stubborn and resistant?
I really like that. I'm going to use a little quote that he gave in the beginning because I think it is actually kind of funny. It's cute. I love that Joseph said, God is the kick and we are the ass. I thought that was great. And again, that just relates back to that steadfastness, right? His view on this was, as long as we continue to grow in our faith and keep our eyes on God, again, that steadfastness, he's going to protect the marriage. He's going to protect us and he's going to protect the marriage.
Sure. No, I agree with that. I think that's a great quote, is that the kicking can't come from the other person, right? The nudge and the push.
That's right.
Now, but that brings up a good point, because I think as best friends, Kim, and partners, we've got to have accountability, don't we? And sometimes that accountability, it can be done lovingly, though. It's not mean. It's not nasty. It's not vindictive. It's not with any malice, but it's out of love. And I think we can hold each other accountable. And as spouses in a relationship, if someone's slipping or sliding, you can't just smile and say it's great. You have to bring it to their attention lovingly so they can self-correct. And maybe sometimes if they're not self-correcting, there can be some of that tougher love there. But the motive, it's really, you have to examine what's the motive. And if the motive is to elevate you and elevate the relationship, then it's coming from a place of love.
And that kind of takes us into my next point that I made. And that's really all about communication. And I think that it's important to continue to bring up how we communicate is so important. And in this particular relationship, Fallon brought to the relationship the inability to communicate well. She just wouldn't talk at all. If she couldn't say it perfectly, she wasn't going to say it at all. And I believe there are a lot of people out there that can relate to that. If you are unable to really articulate what you want to say, or if you're unable to say it maybe the exact way you feel like it should be said, then sometimes you don't say it at all and you hold it in and it builds up. And I think it builds walls, and I think it can actually become very dangerous. And so one of the things that Fallon had to learn was, how can I communicate? How can I better open up and feel safe and in a place where I can be vulnerable and share what I feel without being judged, or even just with saying it ugly, right?
Yeah.
Not saying it perfectly.
Yeah. And I think he kind of chimed in and said that. And I think what Fallon was doing is something that I'm guilty of, is called postponing perfection, because you're saying, gosh, I'm not ready to do it. I'm not ready to say it just yet because I don't have it perfectly formed. And because you're more concerned about the form than the content, you postpone doing things. We do that all over our lives, not just in our number one relationships. And I think that she had to learn that I got to say it fast and say it real. And it might be ugly, right? But she's got to get it out there. And Joseph said, yeah, man, say it ugly, say it fast. And sometimes that may become headbutting, right? The two of them butt heads a lot about that, but they learned how to get that dance and smooth it out. So that I think what Fallon said also is, you got to be willing to say what's on your mind, right? If I'm feeling something and I can say it with love and respectfully, the best time is to say it is when you're thinking and feeling. And you can say it, it's all in the presentation, right? You can say those delicate, tender, maybe things that could raise some issues between you and your spouse, but it's right to say it in the moment and say it so that you can have the discussion. And so if your spouse doesn't know how you're feeling, they can't respond and support you the best way.
Yeah, I'm going to give a quick little example. We were having dinner last night and we started talking and we were into this discussion about our work and what we're doing. And the next thing I know is, you know, Matthew he's pointing at me and speaking at me like this. And all of a sudden I felt threatened, and I felt, you know, it kind of took my breath away, and I just calmly said, look at what you're doing right now. Look exactly where your hands are and what's happening. And it was just that matter of pointing out in that moment how he was responding to what we were talking about. And, you know, he immediately just sort of stepped back and was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. Oh, wow. And I think that the way we present things exactly and the way we say them, it really does make a huge difference in the way that it's received.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I think that she said, I've got to work on my communication. You know, Joseph has two podcasts. He's a coach. He's been communicating well and speaking in those situations all the time. This was Fallon's first podcast or first kind of interview. And he said, I protect her. If you want to talk to her, man, you're going through me.
That's right.
And this is my job. It's not her job. And so she was really vulnerable about that. And they could openly, honestly say, she goes, yeah, I got to work on my communication, but I've made progress. And let me tell you what that is.
And I love that.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
One of the things that Joseph did to help her with her communication was he would start to lead a conversation and get it going, get it rolling, and then just sit back and listen and just be quiet.
Sure. Sure. And I think that Joseph was really vulnerable because he shared one of the things that he struggles with most when we started talking about our other pillars. And he said, you know, one of the things he goes, I wish I could get more appreciation because he wants to feel it more. He loves affirmations, words of affirmations. There's number one in his love languages. He wants to hear what she admires, what he's done well. He said, that's my oxygen. And I've got to tell you an interesting story here about that. Joseph, after this interview, we've contacted a few times. He was a wonderful mentor to me. I mentioned this in the podcast about becoming a podcaster. He took the time to give me some pearls and advice, and I appreciate that. And Joseph ended up writing the foreword to my book, which is coming out in November of 2021. And in doing that foreword, he shared an experience of when I sent him the email and said, and followed up with a phone call. Before I could even follow up with a phone call, he said, I'll do it. And he gave me a rough draft. And in that email, he shared with me, Fallon, on the same day I asked him to do this forward, wrote down the top 10 things she loves about him most and just left it for him and gave it to him. And he shared that as well. And he said, this is my report card. I just got the report card from my wife on why I'm kick ass. And it was were affirmations to him of what she loves about him. And kudos to Fallon for taking the time to write those things down. If that's something you've never done, it sounds so simple. And I'm going to share with you guys behind the camera right now, we have Seju who's listening and making sure that we're doing a great job. And I talked to Seju about this and he goes, Mr. Hoffman, I'm going to use that. And I don't know if he's done it yet, but he's going to write a letter. He did. He's giving me the thumbs up. He wrote a letter to his girlfriend and said, I think she really needs to hear this. And I said, it's going to be powerful. And it is. So relative to meeting his love language, Fallon did that for him. And what a great example of being selfless. And it maybe took her a little bit of time. Didn't cost her anything. She wrote it on notebook line college rule paper and left it for him. I have a picture of it. And it was really powerful. So that's a huge takeaway for me of something that you can do with your spouse to increase the level of communication in the relationship.
She was definitely tapping into his love language. And what I love most is that it was unsolicited. She just said, this is something that's on my heart And this is something that I want to do for him. And I know it will mean a lot to him because I know that he appreciates this type of connection. And she did it. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. The most confident, outwardly successful people want and need affirmations just as much as the rest of us. In all my speaking and time together that I've had with anybody, I've never heard anybody say, you know, I get too much praise. I get too much affirmation. It's something we all love and need from the president of the United States all the way down to a young kid in a classroom in a public school in the inner city. Everybody needs those affirmations. And when you can find the times and the opportunities to do that, all you're doing is expressing gratitude and building up the people that you love the most.
I'm going to just kind of circle back to one other thing that I made a note of in this interview. And that is something that Fallon and Joseph both do when maybe there's been a lot of conflict or they feel like their relationship is a little bit out of alignment. Someone recommended to them that they do a marriage reset. And this is really a safe environment where you can come together and say what is on your mind, what's on your heart. And while you're doing that, the other person is quietly taking notes. They're not responding. They're just taking notes of what you're saying. And then you swap places. The other person takes notes while the other person's speaking. And then when they're finished, they can kind of review their notes and maybe talk a little bit about what they wrote down, what's on their minds. And then in addition to that, they may go away and pray about those things that were written down as well. And we have talked about that in the past. As something that we have done, we call it take out the trash. And it's a little bit similar. It's not the exact same, but it's similar. But I think the bottom line is for our listeners that you create a time and space where you can come together and talk about very openly, very vulnerably, the things that are going well and maybe the things that are not going well and the things that are really causing turmoil.
I think it's a great practice, and they call that reset, and some friends of theirs, I mean, Joseph is a coach, mm-hmm. and he's helping people in their relationships and their businesses, and he went to a friend. The friend goes, man, this is your business, and he goes, I know, but it's kind of a blind spot, and it's helpful for me to have somebody else share with me because it's been bugging me, and so this process was suggested to them, and they adopted it, and one of the things I think that's most important is the fact that they listen without any comment, no body language, no inflection. And then I would even encourage everybody not to talk about it right then, but let it marinate, let it sit, meditate on it, pray about it, and say, how can I best respond for understanding and support? And we've talked about this many times, and a great background thing to lay down here in this practice, anybody is allowed to feel any way they want and they do. And it's not about making somebody change their feelings. It's about finding understanding. And then as a spouse, what can you do to help them out of an area that they might be in? What can you do to support them and give to them? So taking that pause and allowing it to sink in and having that understanding, I think is going to really help with the perspective and making sure that you're coming back with love and support. And it's a great example that they shared with us on how they've done in their relationship, and I think something that we can all definitely learn from.
I would agree. How about any other maybe little pearls from this interviewer?
Yeah, for sure. One thing, Kim, they were kind of the impetus, and we've heard this from one other couple. They love our 13 pillars, but they said, you know, we don't see play and fun and playful. We don't see fun and playfulness on your list. And we think maybe you should add that as a 14th pillar, because having fun and playing together just for the sake of having fun, it doesn't really matter what it is. It might be running out in the rain. It might be having a pillow fight. It might be going to a concert you both love. It could take shape and form in all kinds of things. but not taking yourself too seriously, not focusing only on work if you happen to work together. I love the fact that one of my favorite things about this podcast is that I get to do it with my best friend. And I love the time we spend together, and it gives us something in common. But we also, Kim is not involved in the rest of the business, so she hears me sing praises and excited or challenges I face, but we want to share this one thing together, which is great, and we have fun doing it, which makes it even better, but it's the only thing that we do work-wise together, and we make sure that we have some fun, whether it's going on a hike or playing a game with our 12-year-old son who's still living with us at home, or something with our dogs. We have two German shepherds. So I think that's a great advice in making sure that you're finding the opportunities to create fun and playfulness and keeping it light.
Agreed. That's why we got to together. And that's usually how relationships start off, right? There's a lot of fun and dating and activity surrounding getting to know one another. And I think when life takes over and things sort of come to just monotony, really, day in, day out, sort of the same thing. I think it's really important that we make a point of doing fun things together.
And if you're not sure what your spouse has as their fun things, you got to be a little Sherlock Holmes and do some investigating and find out, because you have to do things together that fill each of your tanks. Sometimes it might be something that you both love. I planned a date last week. Kim and I went out. We had a drink at sunset on the top of a building in downtown Greenville and connected with our kids and saw the sunset. And then we went and had a nice dinner together at a fun place. And then we went and listened to some live jazz. And what a treat that was. We both love music. We both love live music. And we got to spend time together. Of course, the conversations were fantastic, but we had fun and we enjoyed our time together.
Agreed. And so go out there, everybody, and make sure you play together.
Got to. That's some good parting advice. So if you haven't heard the whole interview, please check it out. Joseph and Fallon Warren. A lot of great pearls from life stages that they had. And you'll enjoy that interview, too. And if you're a couple and you're imperfect like Kim and I and you want to level up your number one relationship, I hope that you'll check out Kick-Ass Couples Nation. You can go to MatthewPHoffman.com. It's a membership site, and man, we've got some great stuff there. We do bi-monthly webinars with licensed marriage therapists. Kim and I do a new segment called TGWM, Thank God We're Married, where every Monday you're going to get a live message. And you're going to find out what's the one thing you can work on that month in order to upgrade your relationship, something that you can do to get better right now. So we hope you'll join us there. Come back and keep listening to the podcast. If you haven't rated or reviewed us yet, please leave a review and let us know how we're doing, so we have a scorecard and we know what we can do to improve and bring more things to you. That's really important for the growth of this platform, which is to help couples. And remember at the end of the day that happily ever after does not just happen. We look forward to hearing and seeing you soon.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.